Morning. Okay, it's good to see you all this morning. So let's go ahead and we'll get started with our Sunday school class. So let's begin with prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you that we can gather together as your people to offer you praise and worship, Lord. We just thank you that we have this day that we can come apart from the world to seek to honor you and to glorify you and to be taught and instructed from your word. Lord, we ask for your help today. I pray that you'd please help us this morning. I pray that you'd help me to speak clearly and accurately from your word. I pray that you'd help each of us to receive teaching and instruction from your word. Lord, we pray for the children. We ask that you would work in their hearts and their lives. We pray for the class, that you would be pleased to bring your word to them and to save our children. Father, we just need your help, Lord. We need the help of your Spirit today. We pray that he would be among us to enable us to glorify you and to honor you and to focus our mind and our thoughts and our attention upon you today. So we ask for your help. We ask for your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, good morning. This morning, I'm going to be using as a guide a class or a lesson that I actually taught about 3 years ago in a Sunday school class. So some of you may have been here then, and so you may remember or recognize some of this, but I don't think you'll remember all of it. I'm quite sure you won't. And I've made some changes in some of the material. So, but I believe it's a subject that's, I think it's relevant and it's worth our attention again this morning. And the topic that I'll be addressing is responding to instruction from God's Word. Responding to instruction from God's Word. And I have a couple of primary texts to begin with. One is in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. The verse from the Old Testament is from Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, 15, verse 32. Proverbs 15, verse 32, which says, "He who disdains instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence," or understanding. Many translations have understanding there. So we'll be looking at this verse and several others, many also from the book of Proverbs, in studying the importance of properly responding to instruction from God's Word. And I feel that this is important, an important subject, because I know in my own experience, and I'm sure many of you can relate, we've heard many good sermons and a lot of good teaching from the Bible, you know, on various subjects, topics, doctrinal matters. And we hear good teaching here on a regular basis. We're very blessed with the preaching, the teaching that we receive here in our church. But I wonder how much of it has really transformed and changed our lives. And that's what God's Word really is designed to do, to bring about a change, an effect of change in our lives. So I think it's important, vitally important, to consider how we should respond and how often we actually do respond to the instruction that we receive. So let me give you an outline of where I'd like to go this morning. In the first place, I want to define some terms and explain what I mean by that phrase, responding to instruction. Secondly, I want to discuss the importance of this subject, why it is important. Third, I want to look at several reasons why... Third, I want to look at several obstacles or hindrances that we have to properly responding to instruction. And then lastly, I want to look at some practical applications to this whole idea of receiving instruction or correction well. So, to begin with, what do I mean by this phrase, responding to instruction from God's Word? Well, I'm using the word instruction broadly to include several related words and concepts. And a couple of those are correction, reproof, admonishment, and rebuke. And I'm including these words under the kind of the general umbrella of this term instruction. And so let me give you some definitions. These are just dictionary definitions of these words. Okay, the word instruction means, or can mean, one is a command or an order. Another definition is the action of teaching or training. And a third definition that I like is a direction calling for compliance. And so the Greek word that's used for instruction in the New Testament is a word paideia, and it means education or training, by implication, disciplinary correction, chastening, chastisement, instruction, nurture. Okay, so those are some of the ideas of this overall general word instruction. So instruction involves an element of imparting knowledge and teaching and training, but there's also an element of authoritative direction that requires compliance on the part of the one who's being instructed. Okay, so that's instruction. Correction can be defined as one is a rebuke. Two is, and I like this definition, a bringing into conformity with a standard. And, the standard that we are concerned with as believers is God's Word. And one of the words, the Greek word for correction that's used in the New Testament, it signifies an amendment, correction, or literally a making straight. And so you have the idea that it's something that is crooked or twisted or it's out of line, and it needs to be corrected and made straight to conform to a standard. Okay, so that's the word correction. The word reproof is a noun form of the verb to reprove, which means to correct gently or with kindly intent. All right? So it has kind of a gentle aspect to it. It's correcting someone but in a gentle manner. Admonishment is the noun form of the verb to admonish, which means to express warning or disapproval, especially in a gentle, earnest manner, or to give friendly, earnest advice. All right? So that's the idea of admonishing. And then the word rebuke is a little stronger. That's an expression of strong disapproval or a reprimand. Okay? All right. So these are some of the words that kind of fall under this general term instruction. And they all have slightly different meanings, but they all convey the idea of communicating knowledge or training or teaching, but all with the goal of eliciting compliance or a positive response to that which is taught. Okay, so biblical instruction is concerned with more than with just an increase in knowledge or information, but it's also concerned with changing conduct, behavior, beliefs, and attitudes to bring them into conformity with the standard of God's Word. And there's a verse in the New Testament that really kind of addresses all of these aspects of instruction, a pretty well-known text. Can anyone think of that text, that verse? Can you quote it from memory? Anybody quote? 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Pretty well-known text. All Scripture is breathed out or inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training, or the King James has instruction in righteousness. Okay? So we'll be looking at that verse as we go along this morning as well. Okay, so that's just an introduction and some definitions of what I mean by the term instruction, correction, and responding to instruction from God's Word. All right, and so why is it important that we as Christians respond positively to instruction from God's Word. Why is it important? Okay, well, I think there are several reasons. Okay, one is, in the first place, well, we're commanded to. James 1:22 tells us that we're told to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Okay, so that, and this is an imperative statement. It's a command. And the reason that James says that we must be doers and not hearers only is because if someone is a hearer but not a doer, he goes on to say that he or she is deceived, believing himself or herself to be something that he is not. And then he uses the analogy of a man looking intently at himself in the mirror. And you know, when you look in a mirror, you see your flaws, your blemishes, your imperfections, and then going away and immediately forgetting what he was like or forgetting what he saw. And so the analogy is, it's, you know, when we look into the mirror of God's Word, we see imperfections in our life, we see blemishes, we see flaws, we see sin. And so the only appropriate response is to act upon that which we see, that teaching and instruction we receive. Okay? So in the first place, it's important because we're commanded to, and if we don't, then we're deceived. We're deceiving ourselves. Okay? Now, another reason why it's important is because we demonstrate either our spiritual wisdom or our spiritual foolishness by how we respond to instruction. And several Proverbs illustrate this. Very early in the book of Proverbs, we see this contrast between those who are spiritually wise and those who are spiritually foolish. You know, there are several kind of contrasts in the Proverbs between the sluggard and the diligent, and there are a lot of contrasts made between that being wise and being foolish, the wise man and the fool. So let me just read a couple of these. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Okay? So characteristic of a fool, a foolish person, is he or she despises wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:8-9 says, "Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove," or, and the King James has rebuke, that stronger word, "rebuke or reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser." Proverbs 12:1 says, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." Okay, the King James has brutish, you know, kind of like a beast, stupid in that sense. All right, "He who hates reproof is stupid." Proverbs 12:15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice or counsel." Proverbs 15:5. "A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds," or literally keeps, "reproof is prudent," is wise. Okay, another verse in Proverbs 15, the one we looked at the beginning. "Whoever ignores instruction despises himself," and that "himself" is translated in the King James and other versions as "his own soul." So whoever ignores instruction despises his own soul, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence or gains understanding. And then this is one that I like. Proverbs chapter 17:10. Says, "A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool." OK, Okay, so here you have a picture of two men or two women, one who's wise and the other who's foolish, and they need to be corrected or instructed in something. And so the proverb says that the rebuke is more effective for the wise person than 100 blows or lashes on the back of the foolish person. Okay? So you see the contrast between the wise and the foolish by how we respond to rebuke or to correction. Let me give you a comment here by Matthew Henry. Comments on this verse. He says, a word is enough for the wise. A gentle reproof will enter not only into the head, but into the heart of a wise man, so as to have a strong influence on him. For if but a hint be given to conscience, let it alone to carry it on and prosecute it. In other words, to carry out that which was the instruction that was given. However, in contrast, stripes are not enough for a fool to make him sensible of his errors, that he may repent of them and be more cautious for the future. He that is foolish and willful is very rarely benefited by severity. David is softened by, you are the man. Remember the prophet Nathan? That's all he had. You are the man, right? And it convicted it. It softened him. He took that rebuke. While Pharaoh remains hard under all the plagues of Egypt. So the contrast between the wise and the foolish on how we respond to instruction. Another one, Proverbs 19, verse 20. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. And the King James, the New King James has it a little different. It says, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. So I think it's important especially for young people to learn at an early age to receive instruction well, and according to this proverb, so that you may be wise as you get older. Wise in your latter days. And I know as a young person and as a teenager, I was very defensive. And I didn't like to be corrected by anyone. And so that's not a good response. We need to be those, and we should be teaching and trying to instruct even our children and our young people to receive correction and instruction well. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever been rebuked or reproved by someone? Yes, right. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, or if you've been married for any length of time, then I think you can all say that, of course, we have. And we all need to be corrected and rebuked from time to time, right? None of us are perfect. We all have areas that we need correction in. But being corrected is really not the issue. The issue is responding properly to correction. And how well you and I respond to correction and instruction to a large degree is a measure of our spiritual wisdom or our spiritual foolishness. Now, Matthew Henry has another comment on this. He says, a wise man will reckon those his friends who deal faithfully with him. Rebuke such a one, and he will love thee for thy plain dealing, will thank thee, and desire thee to do him the same good turn another time, if there be occasion. It is as great an instance of wisdom to take a reproof well as to give it well. And I think that's absolutely correct. The issue is not when we need to be corrected or when we receive a rebuke or a correction. The matter is how we respond. Responding well can demonstrate as much wisdom and spiritual maturity as the person giving us the instruction that we needed to receive. Okay? All right. So those are some reasons. Another reason why this is important, this whole topic is important, because how we respond and react to instruction and correction is a measure of whether or not we are spiritually wise or spiritually foolish. Okay, a third reason why this is important is because our reactions to instruction and correction are a better barometer of our true spiritual state than our actions are. Let me explain what I mean by that. I have a friend who was a pastor in Florida for many years, Brian Wheeler. He's the older brother of John Wheeler. I've mentioned him before. And he used to preach or teach that our reactions are more important than our actions. And what he meant was that it's relatively easy to prepare ourselves to act properly, to act as Christians should, when we come to church and when we're in situations that we have some control over, right? I mean, it's relatively easy to prepare yourself to act in a certain manner, act in the way in which you know as a Christian you should, right? But it's a lot more difficult and it's more revealing of our true spiritual condition to react properly to things that we don't have any control over or you don't have time to prepare for. Somebody cuts you off or honks at you in traffic. How do you react? You experience some severe, unexpected trial. Maybe the sudden loss of a loved one or the loss of a job. How do you react? You know, I had a friend he was a roommate in the Air Force who was a professing Christian. He did some teaching in the church. He appeared to be quite mature spiritually. And he was an officer in the Air Force, and he was an optometrist. So he was a professional man. But he got passed over for promotion. And in the military, those of you who have been in the military, it's at a certain point, especially as an officer, if you get passed over for promotion, you have to separate. You have to leave. So he was forced to separate from the Air Force, and his whole life collapsed. His whole life collapsed. It was just incredible. So that was his reaction to this to the trial that he experienced. I had another friend who's a pastor in Michigan, whose oldest son died very unexpectedly when he was 16 years old. He got sick. He got some kind of an infection, and within a few days, he had died. Our friend grieved the loss of his son, obviously, but he continued to trust and to serve God, and he's doing so today. He's continued on faithfully serving as a pastor of a church up in Michigan. So the same principle applies to a lesser degree, but when we receive instruction or correction, how do you react to being corrected, especially when you aren't expecting it? Matthew 12:34 teaches us that Jesus says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So often what comes out of your mouth is a reflection of the condition of your heart. All right, so that's just another reason that how we react and respond to correction and instruction is important. All right, let me give you some obstacles or hindrances to properly responding to instruction. Why is it that sometimes it's difficult for us to react or to respond the way we know we should? Well, I think the first obstacle, the first hindrance, is really just pride, right? Pride. You know, it's humbling to be corrected or to be rebuked, and our carnal flesh recoils against it and really hates to be corrected. We naturally want to defend ourselves or someone close to us if we have received some instruction. But pride is a grievous sin, right? One of the things that God hates in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, we've got that list of things that God hates, right? And one of those is a proud look. Proverbs 16, verse 5 says that pride is an abomination to him. It's an abomination to God. So we need to mortify the pride that would keep us from heeding instruction. Okay, and I think that's a big obstacle for a lot of us. I know in my own life that can be a hindrance to receiving instruction well. I think another hindrance which I think is kind of closely related to pride, is stubbornness. The dictionary defines stubborn as being unreasonably or perversely unyielding or mulish. It's like a mule. So I understand mules to be very stubborn animals. You know, I mean, it's difficult if a mule doesn't want to do something, it's difficult to get the mule to respond, right? So a synonym for stubborn is obstinate. So someone may be persuaded, you know, intellectually that something needs to be changed in their life, right? But they may have done it for so long that they are simply unwilling to change or to respond to correction. And this was the charge that God made against Israel in the Old Testament. Remember? That they were a stiff-necked or a stubborn people. And he threatened to consume them for their stubbornness and their refusal to obey him. And I you can probably think of some own examples from your own life, your own experience, but I can think of a man that I know at another church who he was a deacon in the church, but his wife and daughter had gotten into the habit of sitting in the back of the church rather than in the sanctuary with the other members during the service. And there really wasn't any legitimate, you know, they weren't helping in the kitchen or, you know, with the children in the back. They just were sitting in the back because they wanted to sit in the back. And so the pastor, my understanding, the pastor spoke to the man and told him, you know, that really as a deacon in the church, it would be more appropriate for his family to be sitting with him in the congregation in the worship. And this man, he got offended and he threatened to leave the church, which is not a good response, not a good reaction, right? All right. So it could be just a matter of stubbornness. It could be something that, you know, people, we've done things so long that we know we should change, we receive instruction, but we just don't want to. Okay? All right. So that can be a hindrance. That can be an obstacle. Another obstacle can be, possibly, a lack of authority, a lack of moral authority or credibility in the one giving the instruction. Right? You know, someone might not respond to some instruction that he or she receives, either through, you know, public preaching, teaching, or some personal interaction with a pastor, with another brother or sister, because the one who's giving the instruction really lacks credibility. Okay, for example, you know, someone might resist receiving counseling on, you know, marital counseling or instruction on child raising, child rearing, if the person who's giving the instruction doesn't really have his own marriage or family in order. Okay? And so that's why it's so important that someone who would be in a position of leadership in the church meet the qualifications that are set forth in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. And, you know, if you look at those, we won't look at those now, but many of the qualifications that are set forth have to do with character traits, the man's character, right? He needs to be temperate, sober-minded, ruling his house well, having a good testimony outside the church, and etc. And only one time is the requirement given there that the man, especially someone who would be an elder, needs to have the ability to teach. But three times it's stated that a man must be blameless or above reproach, which is a character qualification. And so it's unimportant. The man does need to be able to teach, but if he wants to have any credibility in his teaching or preaching or his instruction, then his life needs to back up that which he's speaking. So that could be a hindrance. Possibly it could be that some people receive something or hear something and they have some doubts about the credibility or the authority, the moral authority of the person giving the instruction. But another possible reason, another possible obstacle or hindrance to responding well, it could be that there's just an absence of saving grace in the person. Right? I mean, if someone consistently refuses to listen to instruction, to correction, to reproof, or rebuke from God's Word. It could be because there's no saving grace within that person to enable him or her to respond properly. And you know, one of the marks of true saving faith is what? It's obedience. Obedience to Christ and His commands, right? Our obedience doesn't save us, but it gives evidence to the fact that we have been truly saved and changed and born again. A couple of verses bring this out. Hebrews 5, verse 9 says, "And having been perfected, He, Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him." Okay? So it's one of the characteristics, one of the marks of those who have been saved is that they obey. They obey Christ. They obey God. They obey His commands. Okay? Again, not that our obedience saves us, but it's an evidence, it's a mark of those who have been who have received the salvation that God offers. 1 John 1, verse 3, another pretty well-known text, says, "Now by this we know that we know Him." How? "If we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And so one of the commandments that Christ has given us through His Word that we looked at earlier is to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. So not responding to instruction, if someone's life is characterized by just this a refusal to respond well, positively to instruction, that could be a sign that the person really is not converted. Okay? And so that's that could be an obstacle or a hindrance. All right. Well, now let me try to give some just some applications here. So I think we can see clearly that how we react, how we respond to the instruction we receive is really vital to our spiritual health. Okay? So, and let me ask the question again. How do you and how do I respond when we are corrected? Is your initial response to resist someone or some teaching that is convicting to you? I know in my own life that I resisted. When I first saved, as I think probably many of us were, was Arminian in my theology. Okay, But when I was first exposed to the doctrines of grace and the doctrine of God's election and predestination, I was a young Christian, and I resisted those a lot. I didn't receive them well. I thought they were wrong and harsh, and it was a misunderstanding of the Bible. But God used various means to subdue my resistance, and I'm sure some of you can probably relate. He used other men. He used Brian Wheeler was an influence in my life. Al Martin, who's a godly pastor, who we heard last week on a very, very practical subject, was someone whose preaching and teaching was helpful to me to come to this to come to a proper understanding of the doctrine of election and predestination. I also heard some sermons by a man by the name of Eric Alexander. Some of you may have heard of him. He's a Scottish, I think he's Presbyterian. Very, very good preacher. He preached some sermons on Ephesians 1 and just laid it out. And so God used that also to help me to correct my understanding of the doctrine of election. But I think sometimes it may be even more difficult with matters that involve our conduct or our behavior to receive correction. Let me explain that. You know, that verse, 2 Timothy 3:16 that we looked at, you know, we tend to like the first part of that verse. It says that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching or for doctrine, right? You know, I think most of us like to receive, to study doctrine, and we like to receive, and I, for the most part, receive instruction when it comes to doctrinal matters. And getting our doctrine straight is critical. It's vitally important. But You know, the rest of that verse, I think, is maybe a little harder to receive. The fact that all Scripture is not only profitable for teaching or doctrine, but also for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, which really has more to do with our conduct and our behavior and our attitudes. So again, let me ask the question. Do you consistently refuse to heed correction and instruction in any area of your life? If so, you and I need to ask God for grace to meekly and properly respond to the instruction He gives us. All right, and let me just... let me close, we'll end a little early here today, but let me close again with that verse that we looked at in the very beginning. Proverbs 15, verse 32. Let me read that again to you. It says, "Whoever ignores instruction despises his own soul, but he who listens to reproof gains understanding." So I pray that we would all be those who don't ignore instruction to the despising of our souls, but who listen to and heed reproofs and thereby gain spiritual understanding. Okay? And in particular, I think as we're instructed, as we're taught, as we receive instruction in practical matters, we want to be those who receive it well and respond positively to the instruction that we receive. All right, before I close, anybody have any comments or questions or any verses come to mind on this subject? Sure. Go ahead. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's good. It's good to listen, to hear before making a judgment or before speaking. Okay. Good. Another mark of the wise man, the wise person. All right. Well, let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the instruction that you give us in your word. And Father, we ask and we pray that you'd help us to be those who respond well to the instruction that we receive. We pray, Lord, you'd remove any obstacles in our lives, Father. We pray that you would cleanse us and remove the pride that would keep us from taking instruction, receiving instruction from your word, from one another, Lord. We ask that you would cleanse us and purge us of that. And we pray that you would help us to more and more conform to the standard of your word. Lord, we thank you that you've given us your word to teach us and to lead us and to correct us, Lord. And we just pray that you would be at work doing that in our lives individually and corporately. We thank you for the sound teaching that we receive regularly here. We bless you and thank you for that, Lord. We thank you even recently for some of the instruction that we've received in practical matters, and we just ask that you'd help us to respond well to that teaching and that instruction. We pray that you would bless us and help us today. We pray that you'd bless our time of worship and the service to come. And we again just ask that you would be with us today and help us to glorify you in all that we do. We ask and pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Sure.